Is risen. And so we are in week four of a series of messages on how the resurrection of Jesus Christ has changed everything. And if you've picked up a copy of the book Risen by Steve Mathewson, you are in and started with day one being Easter Sunday. You're in day 22 of 50 meditations on reasons why the resurrection has changed everything. And if you don't have that book, there are still a few copies available. You can pick them up at the Welcome Center after the service. I think they're $10 a copy. But great series of meditations on the resurrection. One thing that the resurrection has changed for everyone who is a Christ follower is how we grieve in response to death. The truth is that as long as we live, as long as we are alive, we will have occasions to experience grief in response to death. I can remember the first time I witnessed grief in response to death. Not that I grieved, but I witnessed it. I was a young man and growing up in a pastor's house, and the phone rang one day, and my mother picked up the phone and said with a cheerful voice, "Hello." And then she listened for a moment, and her knees buckled, and she sat down and cried out, "Oh, no. Oh, no." And she had heard that their best friends from Moody Bible Institute had just lost their 18-year-old son. He had graduated from high school, was planning to attend college in the fall, and on this June day, as he rode his motorcycle on a highway just 1 mile from home, a dump truck pulled out in front of him, and he was gone. Absent from the body, present from the Lord. I witnessed grief for the first time, but then as a family, and we attended that funeral for Jackie Clark, I learned then and continued to learn as I grew in Christ that as Christ followers, we grieve differently. We grieve, the scripture says, but we grieve as those who have hope. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ teaches us that we grieve, but it's a guarantee, but his resurrection is also a guarantee of our resurrection. Listen to the words in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 20. In the Pew Bible, if you don't have your own Bible, you can grab the Pew Bible. In the Pew Bible, it should be around page 933. Verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes, "Christ has indeed been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." And the point of this message this morning as we come to the text is that you and I should grieve the death of Christ followers with hope, for three reasons. The first reason is this: we grieve the death of Christ followers with hope because the resurrection of Jesus is the guarantee of more to come. In 1 Corinthians 15, 20, the Apostle Paul uses the word first fruits to describe the event of Christ being raised from the dead. First fruits. In biblical terms, the concept of first fruits has to do with, first of all, first in time, the beginning, the first, the initiation of an action or a process. And so
Christ is first fruits. He's the first, but he's also the beginning, the one who has initiated an action or a process that will mean more. It's also the first in quality, best or choicest, that which is superior to all others of the same class or kind. He is the firstborn from the dead, the first fruits, first in sequence, the first portion of something which has been set aside in dedication to God, first in sequence. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 19, we have a command to God's people concerning first fruits. In Exodus 23, verse 19, the scripture reads, "Bring the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God." For the people of God, they were to understand that as an act of faith, when they were harvesting crops, the first of their crop was to go to the house of the Lord. Whether it was the tabernacle in the wilderness, the tabernacle in the land, or the temple, the first fruits went to the house of the Lord. And it was provision for the priests and the Levites. In Proverbs 3, we have an enduring command for all of God's people, and it's a command with a promise. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first fruits of all your crops. Then, the promise, the command, honor the Lord from the wealth and from the first fruits of all your crops, and then the promise, then your barns will be filled completely and your vats will overflow with new wine. In other words, you give that which is first, and God promises more. He promises enough for your needs for life and godliness. You give the first and best to God because the first fruits are the promise of more to come. Here in the text in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is equating first fruits with resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is the first fruits of more to come, more resurrection to follow. You know, one kind of insight into the scripture that comes from Hebrew culture, the first century, that we might miss because we live in the 21st century, is the whole timing of when first fruits are given. In the book of Leviticus, when the offering of first fruits is commanded, it is to happen, catch this, on the day after Sabbath. What day in the week is Sabbath? Sunday. It's to happen on the day after Sabbath, immediately after the Passover. Wow. Think about what Paul is doing in equating Christ's resurrection with the first fruits of the dead. Jesus died after celebrating the Passover Seder with his disciples. He was buried. And he rose again on the day after Sabbath. The third morning, on Sunday, the disciples discovered, the women first, he has risen just as he said. The first fruits. But the first fruits are a promise of more. We know what it is to enjoy first fruits. I don't know about you, but one of the first fruits that I enjoy every year is the tomato. That first tomato. Now here we're looking maybe at fried green tomatoes, but no. This is the first fruits, but I'm going to wait until the first fruits are ripe, a red ripe tomato. because the first fruits, that first tomato is dedicated in my house to that first BLT. Oh, to die for. Now, the good news is that though that first fruit is consumed in that first BLT, and hydroponic tomatoes through the winter make BLTs, but they're nothing like the first fruits. Amen? Glad you're with me. But that first tomato is the promise of more. BLTs well into the fall. The promise of more. One BLT after another. Last year I had BLTs in October. There was the promise of more. BLT of every kind. Now don't miss it. We grieve the death of loved ones who died in Christ, but we grieve differently. We grieve as those who have hope because of first fruits. Because of first fruits. Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee of more. Secondly, Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee of resurrection life. Not just of more resurrections, our resurrections, all who are in Christ, but also the guarantee of resurrection life, a new quality of life. Not just more resurrection, but also the guarantee of resurrection life. The text reads in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21 and 22, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Now in our Bibles, if we go back to the first book of the Bible, to the book of Genesis, we find the story of the creation of first man. And he was formed of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living being. Genesis 2. And then in Genesis chapter 3, Adam, first man, disobeyed God, ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and in the day he ate of that tree, he what? He died. Now, he didn't die physically immediately. It wasn't like he ate of the fruit, took a bite, and then he dropped dead. But he died. Spiritually, at that moment, he was separated from the living God, and he knew it. He knew it because he covered himself and he hid himself with woman from God. Because he knew he was naked and ashamed. He knew that he was guilty of disobeying God's command. He died spiritually, and that he was separated from the one who loved him and made him. And his body was going to be subject to disease and death. In time, he would die, and his body would be placed in the ground, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, because he was made from the dust of the ground, and to the ground he would return. It is in Adam that we all die. It is because of Adam's disobedience that we inherit sin. We are sinners by birth and sinners by choice. We can't blame mom and dad. Well, we can a little bit, because we inherit our sin from our parents as they inherited it from their parents, as they inherited it from their parents, and so forth to Adam. And because of sin, the wages of sin, the just penalty for sin, death. But in 1 Corinthians 15, we grieve death not as those who have no hope, but we grieve differently because we have hope. Yes, as in Adam, all die, and we will grieve the death of parents. We will grieve the death of spouses. We will grieve the death of our children. Sometimes we grieve the death of our grandchildren, close friends and loved ones. We will grieve death because in Adam, all die. But so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And there's the gospel. There's the good news. There's the hope in the midst of the death of the believer. Now, don't assume, because the scripture says all will be made alive, that the apostle is saying that every man and woman, without exception, whether they believe in Christ or not, will know eternal life with God in heaven. The all is connected to that which comes before in the text. And if you go back to verse 18, the referent to the all is those who have fallen asleep in Christ. The apostle is talking to the Corinthians about those who have died in Christ, the fellow believers, their loved ones who have believed in Christ and then died. They are the all who are in Christ will be made alive. So we grieve, but we grieve differently for three reasons. First of all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the guarantee of more. That his resurrection was the first of many, and all who believe in Jesus Christ will be raised also. We can enjoy the hope of resurrection, even as we know that we experience sin and death. We can be certain that we share in Christ's life. So, hey, parents, grandparents, when you're witnesses to your children or your grandchildren's disobedience, that, no, I won't, or it's mine, bop, say, praise God. Because as in Adam we all die, so also in Christ we shall all be made alive. As certain as the sin and death has touched all of us, so certain that in Christ we will all be made alive. Because God says so. Third reason for us to grieve as those who have hope in the resurrection. And that is that Jesus' resurrection is also the guarantee of reunion. The guarantee of reunion. Family reunions are special. I don't know if you've ever experienced one, but having married into the Johnson family, I married into family reunions. Now, the Aubrey family has had them, just not quite as frequently. But what's unique about being a member of the Johnson family is that Dad Johnson, Gordon Johnson, my father-in-law, he sets the time. He will say, a year out, this time next year, we will gather at Oak Hills Bible College in Bemidji, Minnesota. Or we will gather at Star Lake in Manitoba, Canada. We will gather. He sets the time, and bless his heart, he pays for the place. Amen? Amen. Except that now I'm Dad and Grandpa. Dad sets the time, and Dad pays for the place. And then he provides the means for all to gather. All who will. Not all come, but all who will, they're provided for. Grandchildren from Virginia, grandchildren from British Columbia, grandchildren, wherever they are, in work or college or life, children as well, gather. In 2010, we gathered at Oak Hills Bible College in Bemidji, Minnesota. And there's the all who came and enjoyed the time and the place and the provision of a family reunion sponsored by Gordon Johnson. The occasion was Grandma Johnson's, Grace Johnson's 85th birthday celebration. The favorite memory from that occasion is a time when we all gathered in the chapel and Matthew Jeske, Grace's grandson, opened an album that all of the grandchildren had worked at putting together and read 85 Reasons We Love Grandma. And every page was filled with pictures and quotes of reasons why the grandchildren loved Grandma. Family reunions are precious. And consistent with the Word of God, it's Dad who sets the time and the place and provides the means for all to come together. It's hinted at in 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 23 when the apostle writes, "But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." Gives us a picture of when he comes, and who, those who belong to him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have the same promise expounded on. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes, and it's page 958 in the Pew Bible, beginning at verse 13, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve as the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the word of the Lord, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." So we will be with the Lord forever. Reunion. Reunion. Not only will we meet the Lord in the air with those who've died in Christ before us, Jackie Clark, who died at age 18, will meet his father, Jack Clark, who died in his 80s. And if Marjorie Clark continues to be alive and remain until the coming to Christ, they will together meet their Lord in the air. As with you who are in Christ, we'll meet and join those who have loved Christ among your family and friends, together meet the Lord in the air. Reunion. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Forever reunion. I love the command in this passage. All that comes before is the teaching of the truth of God's word that we're to believe, and the promise of God's word that we're to trust. The command for us in this passage is, therefore, encourage one another with these words. And it is in the present tense, which means keep on encouraging one another with these words. It's the word from which we get paraclete, parakaleo, which means to come alongside, for the purpose of encouraging one another with these words. As long as we live, until we meet the Lord together in the air, let us encourage one another. Because we grieve death differently. We grieve the death of Christ followers with hope, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the guarantee of more to come, ours and theirs. It's the guarantee of resurrection life. As certain as there is sin and death in our life, for those who are in Christ, there is resurrection and life. And it's the guarantee of reunion. God has determined the time, he has determined the place, and he has made the provision for all who will come. The question is, will you be among those who come? You need to accept his provision in Christ now, to be numbered among them who are in Christ at the resurrection. If you can't say that today I am in Christ because of my faith in the one who loved me and gave himself up for me, then today is the day that you say yes to Jesus. Because God has provided victory over death and resurrection life for those who trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I close with this prayer, and if you desire it to be your prayer, you can pray it silently, even as I pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, you claim to be the way, the truth, and the life. Help me to be undaunted by the cost of following you, even as I consider the reasons for doing so, including the guarantee of resurrection. I invite you to guide me, teach me, and open my heart and mind to the truth of who you are and of life in Christ. Give me an understanding of you that is coherent and compelling and that leads to the life that you have promised. Amen. Let's continue and close in the worship of our Lord. We do so praying and committing our tithes and offerings to him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are your people. We are grateful for the hope of resurrection, of new life in Christ our Lord. And we offer you this morning our tithes and our offerings as a gift of gratitude to you, and as the means to supply the ministry of this church and those we have sent out in his name to make the gospel of Jesus known among those who have yet to say yes to him. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.